ते सरस्वती देव गौरवाणी पुषाणी
Sixteen.
Huh? Yeah. That's kind of where we got up. We talked about the living entity as the non-doer and the activities of the body, how he's residing within the city of non-gates, nine gates of the body, but he's not doing anything. And he's not causing anything to be done. And the Lord doesn't assume anyone's pious or sinful activities, but we are bewildered because of ignorance covering our knowledge. Gyanena tu tad agyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha Tesham Adityavaj Jnanam Prakashayati Tatparam. By knowledge that ignorance is nashita, destroyed, then it acts, that knowledge acts like the rising sun and discloses everything for the Krishna conscious person. Is there any question about this? It's pretty clear, isn't it? Clear? Tad bhutayas tad atmanas tan nishtas tad parayanaha gacchantya punaravritim jnana nirghuta kalmasha. The tad buddhi, those who are always thinking of Krishna, their intelligence is always on Krishna, tad buddhayas, tad atmanas, their minds are fixed on Krishna, tad nishtas, they have full faith in Krishna, tad parayana. Parayana means after, in the sense of pursuing. Parayana, it means that's their goal. Parayana, how's Prabhupada translated? Their refuge, the Parayana, Vasudeva Parayana. You guys are in the wrong place. No one sit behind me, please. I have no idea what's going on with you guys when you're sitting behind me. Get out of there. I said, get. Gacchanti, where do they go? Apunaravritim. Apunaravritim means freedom from birth and death. And jnana-nirdhuta kalmasha, their misgivings are cleansed away by knowledge. Kalmasha means different things. Here probably says misgivings. Kalmasha can mean sins, it can mean junk. Here Prabhupada translates it as Niskanen. The 30 things within the heart. Kalmasha. Vishyakshina Kalmasha. Chinna Dvaitaya Patman. Where's that? Who knows that verse? Chinna Dvaitaya.
I'm not understanding the misgiving through the complete knowledge. Misgiving through complete knowledge.
Hold on. We're doing something. Chinna Dvaitaya Patman. 525. Later in the chapter, Rishyakshina Kalmasha, yeah, devoid of all sins. So sins, Kalmasha, Prabhupada translates it here as misgiving, it can also mean sins. What was your question?
Misgiving means giving up the sinful activity?
No, misgivings means doubts, hesitations. That the English word misgivings means doubts, hesitations, I don't know, you know. Here, have a last school. No, I'm on a diet, I don't think it's like, you know, I always get sick when I eat Indian food, or, you know, misgiving, so I don't know. No, nothing will happen to you, it'll be okay. Misgivings, English word misgivings, means hesitations, doubts. I don't want to. Reservations, I have issues about it. I don't know, I have problems with it. Yes.
There's a story about the Rasagula. Giriraj Maharaj went to one life member's house and he was thinking that he's a brahmachari, he mustn't take. The Prabhupada said you could take one to please an old man.
Yeah. That's right. So, Hare Krishna. So, misgivings means that hesitations, usually, yeah, hesitations, misgivings. You know, that feeling like, well, I don't know. Yes.
Can you also say improper understanding?
No, it's not, it just means, it doesn't say where it comes from. But like somebody, you know, come on, why don't you come to the temple? And, you know, why don't you come to the festival? Well, no, you know, my mother wouldn't like it, and, you know, I think my, you know, I really have to study, and I don't like crowds very much, and, you know, it's got, like, all these reasons why, you know, I don't think, you know. So when he gets over his misgivings, then he'll come. You know, he decides that his mother can handle it for a day, that, you know, that crowds are not so bad after all when they're chanting Hare Krishna and dancing in ecstasy. That, you know, so many things. Misgivings. Here it's implied that the misgivings means useless reservations. Useless reservations. No, misgiving isn't a misconception. It's a reservation. But, you know, when I look at these words, I always go to the original word. Because misgivings, that's the English word, it can mean so many things, but it's kalmasha. Kalmasha means sins, it means, you know, it means junk. Kalmasha is not just like a misgiving could be good. You know, if I have misgivings about, walking along the top of the fence there, you know, those misgivings are probably well-founded. But kalmasha is just junk. Kalmasha is sins, dirtiness, you know, it's really junk. It's not a, well, could be good, could be bad. Kalmasha is like bad. What is that? Iti Shodashika Nam Nam Kali Kalmasha Nashana. These 16 words can completely destroy all the Kalmasha of Kali Yuga. That's not thoughtful reservations. That's junk.
False.
Yeah, all the, you know, sinful garbage.
Kalmasha is not neutral. Kalmasha is bad. Okay? Useful to look, you know, when sometimes we read the words and we try to figure out all the implications of the English word. It's really useful to go back to the Sanskrit word and see what Prabhupada's translating. Especially since sometimes the English words in Bhagavad Gita are just borrowed from some other edition. So it's useful to go back to the original Sanskrit and see what Prabhupada is translating. And then you look in the purport and it gives you further insight into what Prabhupada's talking about. Okay. Any other questions there? Okay. Vidyavinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shuni chaiva shapake cha pandita samadarshi. Everyone knows that verse?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Good. Vidyavinaya sampanne means a Brahmin well equipped with education and gentleness. And note that there's reference to people and animals, the Brahmin and the Shrapaka, dog eater, and the there on one side, and then the Gavi and the Hastini and the Shuni, the elephant, the dog, and the cow. So he sees animals, human beings. This is real equality of vision, because he sees the spirit soul. He's aware of the differences between the bodies, but he sees the equality on the spiritual platform.
Maharaj, you know, I yet like Origen Prabhu's commentary on this verse. This verse is on the level of the Paramatma, because the sages are seeing the Paramatma. But then he makes Sama, the word Sama. Like Gurujan Prabhu, he analyzed it as Sa means worth and Ma means Lakshmi. So
for Sa means what?
Sa means worth and
means
Ma.
Means work?
Worth.
Wood?
Worth. You know, worth
with
you.
Yeah.
According to
Vishnu. Oh, Sa, with, yes.
According
sure.
to Srila Vishnu.
Sa, Ma, with Mother Lakshmi. Okay.
Yeah, so he actually, you know, according to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary, he brought it up to the platform of Bhagavan realization from Paramatma to Bhagavan.
Vishnu? Let's see what he does here. No?
Some comments, but I hear this lecture and she goes on troubles. Bhagavad Gita.
Sama means they're beyond the gunas, so they don't see the distinctions due to the gunas. They see only Brahman, which is beyond the gunas. That's what Krishna says. Okay, so it's coming from someplace. Yeah, you could see how commentators really have a good time by taking these words and doing interesting things with it. Sama means equal. Well, equal. Sama means the same. But he divides it, sa, ma. Sa means with, and ma means Lakshmi. And so he's got a comment following from that. These are the great things you can do when you're a self-realized commentator.
Yes. So is it said somewhere how many meanings it has, one word?
No, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained about Bhagavatam that every word and every syllable have unlimited meanings.
Unlimited meanings.
Because every word is Krishna, and Krishna is unlimited.
That is great.
So therefore he was able to explain the Atmarama verse in 64 different ways, giving so many different meanings. Then he'd explain that to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Then again, Sanatana Goswami, so I heard that you explained this. Could you explain it to me also? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained it. Then after explaining 64 meanings, oh, by your association, I just thought of another meaning.
But actually, Bhagavad Gita is also?
Bhagavad Gita is also Krishna. So there's no limit on how much meaning is there.
If you're self-realized, so you can just talk on.
Yeah, you can go on and on speaking from any one verse. There's so much.
The Bhakti Siddhanta on the first chant verse?
First block, first verse is called. Yeah, for so many days of Bhakti. Mm-hmm. Okay? This verse is also very good for the, you know, there are all these equality movements. Equality between the races, equality between the sexes, equality between classes, you know, castes, and equality, everything's equality these days. You know, want to make everything equal. When things are not equal, they may be better or worse, or they may be not better or worse, but they're not the same, that's for sure. You know, a Russian and an Indian are not the same, an Indian and a German are not the same, a German and a Russian are not the same, man and a woman are not the same. There's, you know, that's diversity. There's all these differences. And to try to make everything somehow or other equal, you know, why don't you pay the street sweeper the same amount that you pay the, you know, the governor or the college professor? You know, since, I mean, where's your equality if you're paying them different salaries? So it's really a strange idea that everything is somehow, to try for equality on the material platform is kind of dumb.
I mean, this is...
It's not kind of dumb, it's dumb. You know, materially, you know, no one person is equal to any other person. You want to get something done, you don't say, well, anyone can do it, you know, okay, who's good at it, for example. There are differences all over the place. So, but people want equality, you know, everything equal. So the Vedic vision of equality is that not only are the human beings equal, the animals are equal, all living entities, the plants, everyone's equal because everyone is spirit. Everyone is soul, and soul is equal everywhere. So the Krishna conscious person sees real equality of all living beings. He sees it based on the reality of the presence of the soul. And he's not busy falling all over himself trying to prove that materially everyone is equal to everyone else. It just isn't so. Some people are in goodness, some are in ignorance, some are brilliant, some are retarded. So the only equality really is on the spiritual platform. And that's the platform that matters. The material platform is a different thing. The ultimate platform is spiritual. Loud.
One could argue that the equality is not the soul, because all the souls are in different positions according to their activities. Rather, it's talking about
Well, it's like gold. If gold is in India or gold is in New York, they may be differently situated, but it's gold. It has the same value. You put it in water, it's still gold. You put it in the fire, it's still gold. You put it in the top shelf, it's gold. You put it on the bottom shelf, it's gold. Why should it not be the same everywhere? Well, they're both things are there. Krishna conscious person sees that within everybody the soul is there, and with everybody the super soul is also there. Okay. Now that the Paramatma says, well, you think I'm going to live in the heart of a dog eater, let me tell you something. He lives in the heart of Sarvabhutanam, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam. He's there everywhere. The Krishna conscious person sees both. Yes?
I'd like to take advantage of this opportunity because a couple of days ago I had a query put to me which I was not able to satisfy. What would you say is the official or the standard position of the Vedic outlook towards slavery, owning someone else?
What would I say is the official outlook? you know, official, Vedic outlook is different according to which Vedic people you listen to. But, you know, slave, when you, there are different words. Like slavery implies that you're like mistreating people, probably beating the hell out of them, raping their wives, you know, doing all that kind of nasty stuff, which obviously we don't approve of. It's not that, that's not suitable. But the, on the other hand, the Shudras should be treated differently from the Brahmins. In terms of, for example, the Shudras should not be given money. Shudras, but on the other hand, you see the problem is, these people have, you get governments that have kind of half the right idea. They know, for example, that some people are just like workers and that's all they can do. But then the government exploits them. Government or corporations or whoever it might be. They, you know, they see all these guys can't do anything but work, but then they try to suck every bit of work out of them and give them nothing. You know, third world countries with these people working in factories and something and so on. They just suck up all their energy and give them nothing. That's not the Vedic way. The Shudras also should be given their needs. They should have nice houses, not means mansions, but they should have, you know, adequate houses, adequate food. They should be treated respectfully. Everything, you know, human dignity. But they shouldn't be given money. Why? Because they're Shudras. They're in the mode of ignorance. If you give them money, they'll spend it for sinful activities. I've told this story several times, that I was on a train once here in India, and there was a woman in the same compartment who was a professor at some local university. And she'd just come back from the site of a big earthquake. I think it was in Gujarat. One of those huge earthquakes. And she told me, you know, people's homes were flattened, everything, you know, was just devastated. And the central government gave a big allotment of money. And the central government gave it to the state government. The state government gave it to the local district governments. Yeah, exactly. That's where I was too. I thought, okay, you don't even have to tell me the rest of the story. They siphoned off 20% here, 20% there, 20%. By the time it got down to the bottom, there was nothing left. No, that's not what happened.
Oh. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Surprise. Everybody actually got the money in their hands. It was like some sort of Indian miracle, you know, that the money actually got from all the way at the top to all the way at the bottom. And the people, everybody got the money actually in hand.
It didn't happen in America.
America, somehow or other, this is what happened.
Katrina.
And then what happened is that the liquor dealers moved in.
Oh my God.
And they got all the money.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
You know, the government wanted to help people rebuild their houses and get their everything together, and the liquor dealers came in, and everybody's, oh my God, you know, spent all their money on booze. Because Shudras. So the Vedic direction is don't give Shudras money.
There's another story in Bombay. The government, they gave Shudras houses, because they were all these, you know, these shanty things, and they gave them, like, apartments to live in. What did they do? They rented out the apartment and went back and lived in there.
This happened all over the India. The maid who was working at her house, she rented her apartment. She was given by the apartment 3,000 rupees, and her husband just spent on the locate on this, and they are living in her small hut.
So, if you read in Bhagavatam, how the Shudras should be treated. They're actually like family members. actually, my aunt had a housekeeper, European woman, as I recall. And gee, by the time I was growing up, this woman was well into her 50s or perhaps in her 60s. Maybe not quite that old, but maybe 50s or more. But, and she was, you know, doing all housekeeping and so on, but she was treated like a member of the family. She was treated like a member, like the way you take care of your, see to your children and so on. Her all needs were taken care of, like that. My father had a driver for his business, a guy who was who drive the truck. What was his name? Forgotten his name at the moment. But, you know, he was just a truck driver. A typical truck driver, you know what I mean? But when he needed an eye operation, I think it was, my father paid for it. He worked for the company for so many years. So he was a Shudra. But the Shudras also should be taken care of. Not that they're the Brahmins, not that they're, you know, we touch their lotus feet and everything, you know, and we know what kind of habits these people have and so on. But they also should be given, you know, their needs should be seen to. Sudras also. This is the mistake of the modern civilization. They don't know how to treat sudras. They don't know how to treat women. You know, women are not what they're trying to be. But if you treat them like what they're supposed to be, they'd be happy. Just like Prabhupada, you know, all the women were happy. With, you know, he could say the worst things about them and they'd still be happy. Because he treated them properly. He treated them properly. And, you know, the less experienced person can say the same things, or not even such heavy things, and it's everyone, they all resent it. Because it depends why you're saying it, how you're saying it. If your purpose is just to grind people down, then what do you expect?
Not give them money, and what about freedom? How much of it?
Limited. This idea, you know, freedom, everybody should have unlimited freedom. You know, what is that? It's not really right.
Let's suppose that Shudra who is treated well, if he decides that, oh, I want to go, how should that be handled?
Well, of course, that depends on the context of the society. But according to the Vedic principle, the Shudra has a master and he should serve that master. So it's like a responsibility on both sides. The master has to maintain, and the Shudra has to serve. Just like your wife. In the Vedic culture, it's not like the wife says, well, you know, I've had it with you, Joe. I'm going to go off with George. He's a much nicer guy, and he treats me much better. You know, it's like a contract here that you're, you know, better or worse, you're in it for life. And you have to serve your husband. But on the husband's side, there's so much responsibility. He has to see to all of your needs. So that's the thing. In the Vedic culture, yes, there are people who are servants. There are people who are, you know, their business is to serve their master. But the master's business is to maintain it. You know, the so-called democracy is so weird. It takes the people who are in the majority, who are always the dumbest people, and says, now you're the guys with all the power, you elect who you want. But meanwhile, it manipulates them because they're dumb, you know? So you can fool them.
George Bush.
Why George Bush? All of them.
The whole world.
All over the world, they're doing this business. You know that we bewilder the ordinary people by saying, you're the ones who run everything, it's your government, it's you, it's all about you. And meanwhile, we cheat you up, down, right, left, and center.
It's flattering.
Hmm?
You flatter them by making them.
That way, and then financially. That, yes, we love you, so we'll lend you money. How much do you want? We encourage you. You know, what about that new home you've always wanted? What about that new motorcycle? What about that new car? What about, you know, this? What about that? We would like to help you. We want to help you realize your dreams. And, you know, just let us know how much you want, and we'll provide it for you at 15% interest. Or maybe 20 if your credit's not so good.
Yeah.
And then you know, talk about slavery. You know, you're the slave of the bank for the next
30, 20 years.
That's
for the rest
20
of your life, practically.
The shackles took another form.
Excuse me?
The shackles took another form.
The shadow?
Shackles.
The shackles took another form. Right. So you've got whole countries that are enslaved to the bankers.
The average American is like $100,000, you know, something outrageous.
Outrageously, how much in debt people are. Because they're shudras. So what is a shudra? He wants everything.
He can't afford it.
And if he can't afford it, well, that doesn't matter. He wants it. You know, what does he want? You know, oh, God, what he wants. But, yeah, first of all, he wants all the wrong things. He thinks, he imagines that it will make him happy. And he's such a jerk that he's willing to spend, you know, to sign a paper saying that he'll pay you back with 20% interest. And, of course, because you're, you know, the right, the upstanding, respectable members of society, if he doesn't pay, you're the one who can, you know, cut off his arms and legs, you know, who can make sure he can never, you know, buy another toothpick for the rest of his life. You know, his credit is ruined, which means, you know, his life is ruined.
Even for marriage purposes, people do this thing.
Oh, yeah, for marriages.
In India, millions of rupees are spent in marriage, and they are not able to afford even 100 rupees.
Yeah.
Everything on the credit.
Credit.
Maharaj, when I was working with this Mark and Spencer's in London, mm-hmm. department store,
mm-hmm.
so our marketing strategy is the women, they come for shopping in the morning after 10 o'clock, it's the women. So on the main gate, the main central parking, along where everybody walks, it's all perfumes and jewelry and all the things we can't sell. Our marketing director, George, he said, keep this stuff in the front.
Sure.
So he says we'll sell it, and we were selling it. And menswear and all that, that's really, put it up, don't worry. When they want, they'll go and buy it.
Yeah, impulse buy. They do all this on a national level also, you know, the World Bank lends money to a country, you know, for their infrastructure. You need this, and you need this, and you need this, and you need this. You're never going to get your thing together unless you've got this, and this, and this, and this, and we'll help you do it. And then when they can't pay, well, okay, well, you've got oil though, you've got forests, what else do you have that's useful? Well, you've got gold, or you've got manganese, or you've got tin, or you've got fish, or you've got this, or you've got that, you've got soybeans, okay, we'll take that, we'll take this. Oh, you've got some land that we could use for a military. Okay. What,
no, how about a war with Pakistan?
Yeah, whatever it is, you know.
Well, you've got nothing, but don't cause trouble.
No, that's not enough. Don't cause trouble. This same credit cheating goes on the individual level, the family level, the national, multinational level. You know, talk about slavery. Okay, that's a little bit of a at the sidebar.
Summer, often summer.
There's one question for a break.
This time for a break.
Humble sage.
One shloka.
He sees the other souls as a servant of the Lord.
Yeah.
He sees, yeah?
Yeah, ultimately, all of this in Prabhupada's presentation applies to the Krishna conscious person. Now, even a Brahmavadi, Mayavadi, he may also see that they're all spirit soul. You know, therefore, they're sages also, you know, you say. But even the Mayavadis, you know, this part doesn't take perfect God realization. Just to, this is like, hey, this is ABC. To see that there's no difference between this living entity and that living, the Mayavadis can get this also. They can get this also. But it's perfected in the Krishna conscious person. Yes? Because they get weird about it. Yes, they're all really, you know, I'm you and you're me and there's no difference between this and that. And somehow or other, you know, they try to, you know, like there's one Mayavadi, just like Prabhupada wrote his letters, signing them, you're ever a well-wisher. So this fellow, he wrote to his disciples, and his closing was, your own true self.
All right. The Beatles, after they met Maharishi, I am you, you are me, and we are all...
Yeah, well, I'm you, and you are me, your own true self. Why are you writing me a letter? If you're my own true self, why do I need a letter from you? Yeah, Maharishi, I'm you and you're me, but me and Pharaoh is different.
Oh.
Okay. 5 minute break.
That was his downfall.
We did one verse.
I just want to tell you one story.
Naše auto je tohle. Tady to nás odvezu tam, kam podkupu.
Prostě dneska spadlo auto po
jsem viděl statistiku. Jsi před dvoma rokama. A on tady jako chod je to horší a horší, ne? Před dvoma rokama zadluženost v České republice 500 miliard. Jako dluhy lidí. Jsem to spočítal na obyvatele, kolik to vychází. Rozumíš? Když máme obyvatele jako dospělí lidi, každý dospělý člověk 50 tisíc korun. Ne, to je víc. 100 tisíc korun, každý člověk 100 tisíc korun. Every person 200 rupees bill in my country. Approximately. In Czech, every mature person, no children, not too old people, everyone have approximately bill 200,000 rupees. Calculated to rupees. 200,000.
Well, it's the second printing by the McMillan.
You know,
His mother, your mother.
If she could have paid off
every year.
She's still published by
Mitchell.
See? That, so many things. All unnecessary. Brahmins, don't waste your time with it. Brahmin knows, I just need the basic necessities. But the least intelligent people need to think, yeah, I got to get one of those. So it's especially designed for shudras. A whole world full of shudras. Kalau shudra sambhava. People who are unrefined and untrained in higher values. So they're all, you know, if I buy and I acquire, my life is successful. Even if I'm in debt for 1,000,000 years. Okay. The consumer. He's a shudra. Generally, he's a shudra.
Everyone is shudra. Everyone is shudra only in this world, you can say.
But otherwise, you know, like we were talking about, what's providing sense gratification for the shudras, they should have, you know, nice life, nice, good place to live, husband and wife. You know, that's sense gratification. Sense gratification doesn't mean this, you know, crazy, mad civilization. And what kind of sense gratification is it to work in a factory all day? But they put people in miserable jobs, working in factories, working in slaughterhouses, working in, you know, so many things. Then they have to have liquor because their life is so miserable.
Yeah.
And then liquor is bad, so we tax it. So we get the tax money from you again, we get the interest from you again, we get this from you, we get that from you. Suck them dry.
Cigarettes also.
Cigarettes, yeah, just suck them dry. Take the less intelligent people, exploit them for every ounce of miserable labor, every dime, every, you know, every paisa. Get everything you can out of them. Send them abroad to fight your wars for you. It's some Rabindra Srupa Prabhu was telling me the average life expectancy of a soldier on the modern battlefield. It's something like 90 seconds.
That was me, that particular part of five now. That particular figure who used that part for now had a running second life.
Yeah, there's, right, in a certain kind of warfare, your life expectancy is like 90 seconds. But in any case, even, you know, so if it's a month or 2 months or a year, but, you know, they're knocking these people off, boom, 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 boom. And they know, you know, the government knows they've got, like, you know, their guys with their calculators. They know, okay, well, this is going to cost us this many men. This is going to cost us that many men. You know, give or take a few thousand. This is going to cost us this many. This is gonna, you know, and who are they sending? Who are the men that they're losing in the largest numbers? Yeah, people who join because, well, hey, it's a job anyway.
I haven't got anything else to do.
Well, you got, you know, no other work around. And hey, I can pay off the interest on my this and this and this. Well, just, you know, there's no prospects for them.
Just graduate from high school.
There's no prospects for them in their place. And here's an opportunity, you know, you've got a job, you got training, you got money, you got this, you got that, you got this, you got that. And you also stand a, you know, high chance of dying. Or of being, you know, broken beyond recognition. As, you know, many people are. You know, if you visit like the burn unit, for example.
Maharaj, if the government understand these different divisions, do they understand that these people were sent into war with, you know?
They don't understand the Varnashram system, because Varna and Ashram, it's Varnashram Dharma. Dharma means their duties. They certainly don't understand what a Kshatriya is, because they've never seen one. If they ever saw a Kshatriya, their life would be over. Parikshit Maharaj met Kali, that's it. Your game is finished. Because you're pretending to be a Kshatriya, but you're not. Asamskrita kriya hina rajasa tamasa vritaha prajaste bhakshi ishyanti kalo rajanya rupana. In Kali Yuga, the so-called heads of state are asamskrita, crude, untrained men. Kriyahina, devoid of any good deeds or proper conduct, spiritual activities. Rajasa tamasa vrita, thoroughly polluted by the modes of passion and ignorance, governed by the lower modes of nature. And what is their engagement? Prajaste bhakshi ishyanti, devouring the citizens, sucking the life out of the citizens. Kalo rajanya rupana. Mlecha rajanya rupana. Mlechas, they're the most degraded people, but they're posing as kings and presidents and prime ministers. Huh? 12th canto Bhagavatam. Maybe it's first chapter. Asamskrita kriya hina rajasa tamasa.
Where's this look at it? Well, but also on the other hand, the demons take birth in Brahmin families.
Yeah, everybody's Kali Yuga's bad.
It's really bad.
Nothing's good.
Not that you're a demon to do.
Only good thing is Hare Krishna.
Might bring back to this Kshatriya thing. I remember when the first war with Iraq broke out, and I was in San Diego, and the mood there, like, you know, the mood of Americans on the weekend, like all going to the beach and all that, they all want to go on a war. Like, I saw one Marine down there, like, you know, the mood of Kshatriya, I think.
I sold so many USA hats.
They just
want to
go.
I sold so many USA hats. It was great.
Kshatriya is something else. Kshatriya is not a person who goes out and burns villages and kills women and children. That's not a Kshatriya. The Iraq War, just while we're on it, present casualties are in excess of 600,000 on the Iraqi side, and the majority are women and children. This is not the work of Kshatriyas, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the word discussion. Okay. Moving ahead. Ihai vatayar jitasargo yesham samyes tatam manaha nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmanite sitaha. So we read that the Krishna conscious person sees equally the cow, the dog, the dog eater, the Brahmin. And now he's further described, Iha, in this material world, or in this life, Jitasarga, they've conquered birth and death. Who? Yesham Samye, Stitam Manaha. Those whose minds are balanced, equal-minded toward all living beings. Nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmanite stita. They're nirdosham. Nirdosham means flawless. Like Brahma, like the Absolute. And therefore they're situated in the Absolute. They're in relationship to Krishna, therefore they're also flawless like Krishna. The example is that to enter into the sun, you have to become like fire. Or to enter into the, just like they go down into the water. So they have to have, you know, bodies that are suitable for the environment. So to enter the environment of the Absolute, you have to have the qualities of the Absolute. The Absolute is flawless. So the God-conscious person is also flawless. Nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmanite sitaha. any question here? Nirdosham hi samam samhatasma. These are the self-realized persons. Na prarishyet priyam prapya, nodvijet chapya, prapya chapya, stira buddhir asam mudho, brahmavit brahmanistitaha. So brahmanistitaha, those who are situated in the Supreme, situated in the Absolute, situated in Krishna consciousness. Na prarishyet priyam prapya. When they get something that they like, na prarishyet, they don't go over the moon about it. They don't rejoice. I got it! Na udvijet, and they're not disturbed. Prapya chapriyam, when they get something that they don't like. They're equal. Stira buddhi, their consciousness, their intelligence is steady. Their self-intelligent means their intelligence is the intelligence of the self-realized person. Asam mudho, not bewildered, they're not mudhas. Brahmavit, they know the Supreme perfectly well. Brahmanistita, so they're situated in the Supreme.
Situated in the Supreme.
Well, ultimate, it means for the impersonalists that they're on the level of seeing everything as being spiritual. On the level of Paramatma, he sees the Paramatma everywhere. And the God-conscious person, he sees everything in relationship to Krishna. Perfectly God-conscious person. The impersonal vision is very difficult to maintain. Because in practical terms, you really have to treat, you have to recognize individuality. So their vision tends to be quite theoretical. Though if possible, one may make advancement in the impersonal path. But for the Krishna conscious person, it's much easier. He sees everything in relationship to Krishna, so he's situated in Krishna consciousness. Something else? Otherwise you can take it that the neophyte is like this. He sees everything equally. What is that? Brahmabhuta prasannatma. Nasauchati nakangshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhateva. The initial stage is this. Brahmabhuta, to understand that I'm spirit, to understand sarvakalabhidam, everything is Brahma, the Absolute. Brahmabhuta, prasanatma, then one becomes joyful, knowing he's not this body. Nasochati, nakanchati, doesn't hanker or lament over anything. Samasarveshu bhuteshu, he sees everything equally, all living beings, all circumstances equally. Then, postgraduate stage, madbhaktim labhateva. He engages in devotional service. So you can take it that way. Otherwise, the advanced transcendentalist is the devotee. Okay. Bhaya sparsheshu asaktatma vijitatmani yatsukam abhindityatmani yatsukam sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnute. Now this is very nice. Bhaya sparsheshu, in external touch, external sense pleasure, asaktatma, he's not attached to that. Vindityatmani yatsukam, his happiness comes from the spirit soul within himself. Sa brahma yoga yuktatma, he's connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness. Sukham akshayam ashnute, he enjoys unlimited pleasure. Akshaya means dwindling. Diminishing. Kshaya means diminishing, and, you know, what is the word? dwindling, diminishing, and finally, you know, finally comes to nothing. It vanishes. Anyway, that's the idea. Shaya means down to nothing, right. And akshaya, just the opposite. Undiminishing, undiminishing.
Unlimited.
Infallible, just akshaya.
Yeah, akshaya. Unlimited. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the statement that material happiness for such a person is like mud for a person who's drinking nectar. You know, if you're drinking nectar, then what is this? This is like, material happiness is like mud. So, Jamunacharya, one of Prabhupada's favorite verses, Yadavari mamacheta Krishna padaravinde navanavarasa dhaman yudyatam rantumasi tadavari bhatanari sangame smaryamare bhavati mukavichar dikar shushtu nishtivara. That he's got this sukhamakshayam ashnute, he's enjoying unlimited pleasure within, so the external proposition of sense enjoyment is not attractive for him. Rather, it's there. So this is the test, Prabhupada said. Spiritual realization and sex pleasure go ill together. So you see someone who's supposed to be spiritually advanced, but he's addicted to sex, unrestricted sex life, then you know the story. The more one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, the more he loses his taste for sense enjoyment, especially sex life. Okay, moving ahead. Very important verse 22. Yehi sam sparsha ja bhoga dukkha yoniya evate ad yanta vanta kontaya nateshu ramate buddha. Buddha means intelligent. The intelligent person knows that this bhoga, enjoyment, is the source of misery. This is the great secret of the material world. Everyone's after bhoga, enjoyment. Enjoy, you know, it's like the most successful slogan of all time, Coca-Cola. Enjoy. They haven't changed it in 60 years or more. You know, it's older than I am. Enjoy Coca-Cola. Enjoy.
You know, they changed the name of Coca-Cola in Japanese. As you pronounce it in Japanese, Coca-Cola means tastes like stew.
Yeah.
I can't understand this.
It does. It's horrible to me.
They should advertise it to the pigs. Tastes like stool for the pigs. That's, hey, we're running. But this is the position. What people think is bhoga, enjoyment, is actually the source of misery. Just like this body. It's the breeding ground of all happiness. Because I have this body, I can see, I can taste, I can smell, I can have sex, I can so many things. So the body is the source of all happiness. But actually the body is the source of all miseries. Every misery known to man has to do with this body. Either the gross body or the subtle body. And it's analyzed. If you take every square, you know, millimeter of the body, something can happen to it. It can be burned, it can be cut, it can be broken, it can be infected. There's so many things that happen. You know, I was sitting in the, those who know Samyak Rishi Prabhu, he's a doctor, so I was sitting in his someplace, and he had all these magazines, emergency medicine, that's his specialty, emergency medicine. You pick up a typical issue, traumas to the eye, brightly illustrated in four colors. Oh my God, all the things that can happen to your eye. You know, it's just a part, you know, patients come in and this happens and that happens and this happens and they're suffering from this and suffering from that. And so many miseries can come from the eye. Every tooth can give problems. The gums can give problems. The mouth can get so many sores in it. You can burn the tongue. You can cut it. You can. Every inch of the body is subject to so many miseries. It's just like a minefield or something. So many miseries. And that's our source of enjoyment. Love has pitched his mansion in the place of excrement. Yeah. Dukkha yoni. Dukkha yoni means the breeding ground or the source of misery. Yeah, the breeding ground of misery. Samsparsha ja. Samsparsha means touch. And ja means born of. So samsparsha means by contact with material nature, or by contact with the senses, or finally, contact between man and woman. That's samsparsha, complete touch. Sam means complete. The man and woman embrace, and that's like the ultimate in enjoyment, in sex enjoyment. There's all the little enjoyments. Enjoy Coca-Cola. Okay, yeah, but what's Coca-Cola, you know, compared to sex? I go up to any sailor and offer him a choice. Which would you rather have, a Coke or get laid? So the ultimate enjoyment is sex enjoyment. That's the ultimate bhoga. All the rest of them are little enjoyments. This is the big one. And what is the result? It's the biggest source of misery. And you could catalog those too. Diseases. Starting with AIDS. Yeah, they had the old time venereal diseases, syphilis and gonorrhea and all of that. Things that material nature is up the ante, now it's AIDS, which is a syndrome. Syndrome means actually it's like a collection of diseases, a collection of symptoms. That's what a syndrome is. It's not just a disease, but it's a collect, you know, this happens to you, this happens to them, and this happens to them, and that happens to them, and that happens to them. You know, this doesn't function, and that falls apart, and this causes pain, and that's, you know, so it's a syndrome. It means whole menagerie of diseases or symptoms thrown, put together in one collection. So that's AIDS. AIDS, venereal diseases. Then pregnancy is miserable. Yeah, men don't have to go through it, but the women do. That's miserable. If you're married to her when she's pregnant, you know, then you have to share in all those miseries that she's going through.
Byproduct.
Well, then there's children. They're sources of misery also.
I'm not in like this.
First of all, they're expensive. Second of all, they...
Crying.
They cry, they vomit, they...
And they come with the mother. Nowadays, a lot of men take it as a burden of love to marry women with children.
Yeah, that also, right.
Give them a father is
real
the
losers.
Name of a charity. Being a good guy.
Being a good guy, you get all these children that really you have to put up with.
When we,
Just you know, it's not like if you wouldn't have adopted them.
Buy one, get one free.
Yeah, buy one, get one free. You wouldn't have adopted them, but because you're after the woman, you got to put up with the kids.
You're a sucker.
But if you're not married, and then she's pregnant, then you're really in difficulty. Either she's got to kill the kid, or you've got to bring up these little bastards or give them away. So that's a misery. And if you're married and you bring them up, then you've got to pay for them and put up with them. So they cause misery either way. And then they become, you know, they have all these problems and they become either... Yeah, they disappoint us in so many ways. So many problems are there. And you're in anxiety about them all the time. This might happen to them, that might happen to them, this might happen to them, that might happen to them. And then sometimes it does happen to them. So it's the source of enjoyment, family life, and sex life. But it's also dukkha yoni evita. Because it's the number one enjoyment, it's the number one source of enjoyment. Yeah. Nothing brings as much suffering as...
Getting married.
Yeah, sex life.
That's to be tender about.
With marriage or without marriage, sex life brings misery.
Maharaj, how was this United States in early 60s?
How was it? Timothy Leary summed it up. He said anyone who remembered the 1960s wasn't there. Yeah. What's your question?
Question is like, if I remember, like in Kenya, like it was very peaceful. It was not like
America was not peaceful in the 1960s.
No, Vietnam War was growing.
But the family values.
Family values. People were leaving home. It hasn't been wonderful in the United States since
day one.
Yeah, you say like 1700s. The values have gone down and down and down and down. Gone down and down and down and down. People are more and more bewildered, and they're not more happy.
We had the beatniks in the 60s. There's all.
Yeah, so many things. It's not like the 60s was... You know when people were happy? Back in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Forget it.
Then.
What's that? 1620?
Yeah. There's a feverish mentality there.
Any
suburbia.
Date you pick, there's misery.
Misery. Yeah.
Dukkionia evite.
We live on white bread and... Anyway.
So this material existence means the more you try to enjoy, the more it becomes a source of misery. The bigger the pleasure, the bigger the smack. The drugs are the same thing. You know, it seems like, wow. And then it's, bam. You know, the more you want to enjoy, the more you get kicked. That's the example again, sex life. You see it in Vrindavan. There are a lot of asses in Vrindavan. And the male ass is pursuing the she-ass, the female ass, for sex. And she's literally kicking him in the face. He's getting her heels in his face. That's enjoyment.
I saw that.
Yeah, you go to Vrindavan, you see it, right? All of these examples that Prabhupada cites. When you go to Vrindavan, you see them all.
The beasts of burden.
The beasts of burden, the green parrot in the green tree, the swine eating the stool. You know, everything is there. Vrindavan's a great place for self-realization. All our examples are there.
What is the beast of burden?
Huh?
Beast of burden?
Oh, it's the donkey carrying the heavy load. And
mudha.
Yeah.
The mudha is the ass. The typical, you know, stupid creature. Well, you don't see them so much in Manhattan, but in Vrindavan you see them. You see the other kind of mood. You see the plenty of asses in New York, but they have two legs.
Only monkeys are intelligent in Vrindavan.
Maharaj, one time I saw also a cat, a monkey and a dog was playing so happily with each other.
Vrindavan.
On the road.
That's Vrindavan. So, adyanta vanta kontina. This is material happiness. Adi means it has a beginning, and anta means there's an end. So even if I say, no, it's not a source of misery, it's a source of happiness. I love it. It'll be finished. So what's the point of going after happiness that will be finished? Nateshu ramate buddha. An intelligent person doesn't get his enjoyment in that stuff. You know, if I say, here, for $50 you can have this nice machine, and it's really great, it'll make you really happy, and it'll break in a week. And you won't be able to fix it. Would you invest? Would you buy it?
No.
But that's everything in the material world. That's the happiness that we're buying into. It has a beginning, and it has an end. And when the end comes, then we're miserable. The end of happiness is misery. So the Prabhupada's quoting again favorite verses from Rishabhdev, that vidbhujamye, this happiness is available to the hogs. This kind of happiness, sense enjoyment. So that should not be the business of the human being. Ramante yogino nante satyananda chidatmani. Iti Rama Pideyanasa, Param Brahma Vidhiyate. We, in Hari Rama, people want to know what Rama means, so Prabhupada sometimes says it's another name of Krishna. It means the supreme pleasure eternal. And that's explained here in the Padma Purana. Because the absolute truth is the source of unlimited pleasure, is known as Rama. So when that pleasure is available, why should one be after false pleasure? If he's intelligent, nateshu ramate, he doesn't take pleasure in something which, number one, is a source of misery, and number two, will be finished. Dukkaliyam ashashvatam, that will be stated later. It's a source of misery and it's temporary. So why should an intelligent person be after happiness which is born? And finally, we're talking about, you know, this misery, it gives you that misery. And finally, you know, like sex enjoyment, you get this from it, you get that from it, so many miseries. The ultimate misery is you have to take birth again. Because I'm enjoying, I have to come back and enjoy again. You've got me attached to enjoyment like a drug habit. You know, what enjoyment do you get from drugs? The pleasure to... the privilege to go back and do it again.
Enjoying your brain cells getting killed.
Yeah, enjoying your brain, you know, whatever it is. But the result of it is attachment. And therefore you have to do it again. It has a beginning, you know, say, what, cocaine. It's supposed to be like, wow, big rush from what people say. So you get this big rush, and then the next thing you get is big depression. Right? Isn't that the chemical effect? That's what I hear. And not that I don't expect that you're an authority. But this is what we hear. That the pharmacology people say this. It gives you a big rush, and then you're in depression because it's over.
So then you're hooked on it because you want to be always.
Yeah, it's not like exactly addicting in the sense of the cells crave it, but you're so, you know. You know, press that button again. It's like you're so down after being up, and you're not up anymore, then you're down, and you want more. And heroin is, you know, I don't know what heroin is. That it's misery from beginning to end.
I know what it is. It replaces your gland that kills pain in your body, and you get some high off of it. And then it doesn't work anymore, so then you get pain if you don't have it. It's just because you're
Painful. Maybe there's a little passion in cocaine, and heroin's just ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's just ignorance.
Heroin's, you know, I've taken morphine
for a painkiller.
Surgery,
yeah, yeah.
And you know, you are gone.
Yeah.
It's just like deep ignorance. It's like instant ignorance. You know, your everything is on vacation. Your brain cells, your brain, your you know, it's gone. But people become, you know, what's the benefit of it? That you have to keep doing it. So what's the benefit of sex? That you get to come back and have it again. Life after life after life.
That's what they do to people who are dying. They get morphine. That's them.
Yeah, sure. But so, you know, so like looking at sex, that's the final benefit. We say, no, it's not a source of misery, it's a source of enjoyment. And you're just, you know, okay, you know, maybe, you know, like the people who are doing these weird things. But, you know, you get married, you have a family, you have kids. It's not like the kids are simply miserable, they're nice. And, you know, to have a nice wife and nice kids and hot chapatis and all of that. And you know, and finally the ultimate... know, tender exchanges of love, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So even if someone says that, you know, for your whole life it's wonderful, but the result is that you have to be born again, because that's what you're attached to, and this is the world for that. So the result of your enjoyment is come back and suffer again. Even if you think it's enjoyment, which it's not, but even if somehow you think it's just enjoyment from beginning to end, the result is birth and death. And is that fun? Is that your idea of a good time, kids?
The next look is all about.
So dukkha yoni evite. Therefore, Prabhupada says someplace that sense enjoyment is the enemy of the so-called enjoyer. The more one is addicted to more to material, there's Prabhupada summing up in one line. The more one is addicted to material pleasures, the more he is entrapped by material misery. There it is in one line. Okay, we are done because time has run out. And we will continue from here tomorrow. We didn't cover a lot of territory today. But important verses. Unlimited time.
Oh yeah, I'm not in. Okay. Are you Gopi now?
I'm Deepak.
You're Deepak, okay.
I'm not Gopi.
You're not in mine.
A good time
I want
to
be the servant of Gopinath.
Who's Gopinath?
Gopinath?
Gopinath. He's not here now. He's the...
Yeah. I have 2 Gopinaths in my group.
Who's one of them's the
building.
Okay.
Another one?
Top floor.
Yeah, who's Bhagavat?
In the back.
Bhagavat.
All the way in the
back. Boy, I'm a loser, huh? The defender is here.
And I'm all the way back in the back.
You're my man.
Double door, go all the way up.
Where you been? Anyway, I'll figure that tomorrow.
You know, we've got less late to do. That's from the last one about what our goals are. It says what first. A phrase that helps you.
It's in the first 6, but I forget where.
Huh?
negotiations.
You can get somebody with folio. Since your president Lincoln has been in freedom, we're so cooperative.
You and nature teaches us.
Because those in Prabhupada said this, that, you know. I always like the words.
Oh, no.
He doesn't say that nature teaches.
What? No, he didn't say that. Well, since he did, renting we shall cooperate.
Purchasing, that's still going.